Dave is walking in saying, the champ is here. The champ is here, walking around the arena. The champ is here. I said, this dude is crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Crossover with Joe R. Lucas. And this is just not the crossover. This is a special one. It's our 25th anniversary special. And this is where you're going to get to meet all the old players, the coaches that made this league what it is today, the best competition in the world. The EuroLeague still remains number one. Today, I'm going way back in time, my people. We're going way back in time. But these guys look so young, you would never know they played so long ago. I got Cheska Moscow, the champions of 2006, with me. It's David Vanderpool and J.R. Holden. Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It looks like I got you two together. So, but like before the show, I saw you guys were like yelling at each other. You don't get in touch with each other. So I feel like I'm bringing y'all together today.
I'm going to blame that all on Dave. You know, when you get to his level, I can, you know, just like when we played together, he always got to take control. So I'm just used to just losing my position, moving up to the right and just getting out the way. So I'm staying in my lane.
See, that's a part of, we'll get into some of these stories, but that's a part of what it was. Like, you see how he blamed it on me immediately? That was exact when we played together. Ethere Messina, who was our head coach, if JR took a quick shot, he blamed it on me.
Like, why are you
passing the ball? You know, I'm like, everything is my fault. So I became responsible for any of that. So, sometimes I did become a little bit control freak in some essence because I get blamed for everything.
We're going to get there. Let's catch up with you guys right now. JR, let's start with you. Give us, like, ever since where you've been, what you've been doing.
Yep. Once I got done playing, got married, have two children, stayed in basketball. So worked for the Pistons for a few years, then went to Philly for a year and then to Brooklyn for 5 years and then reunited with Trajan Langdon here back in Detroit with the Pistons. So just, you know, a little journey, but excited about where we're at now and excited to be working with Trajan. And now side kicking with Dave on this show, I'm getting my backcourt mates together. So it's a good life.
That is a good life. I like the fact that you said you waited until after you retired to get married. That's a smart move. Let's move on, though. We'll move on from that one. David, tell us what you've been up to, my man.
Well,
I'm going to get in trouble somewhere along the line.
Then in that lane, as is probably already well known, I'm not as smart as JR. I got married before I retired, and that didn't work out. So
I got divorced. No,
when I did retire, I coached for a season with Cheska Moscow and had the pleasure of
rhythm, yep.
of working with JR and Trajan and all of those guys in a different capacity. Obviously, new to it and learning made it definitely an experience for me, but. I went from that and joined the Oklahoma City Thunder in the front office as first a pro scout and then a pro personnel director there for a few years. And then, you know, the itch was for me to get back into coaching. And I was with the Portland Trail Blazers for 7 seasons, which was phenomenal. And then I went from there to Minnesota with the Timberwolves for two years. And from there to the Brooklyn Nets. And from Brooklyn to here in Washington, which is where I've been for the past 2 seasons. So, nice. You know, it's been a great journey. You know, watching my kids grow up. I'm very proud of both of them. And you know, they've grown through this journey with me.
Crazy how the time flies, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy. Crazy.
Let's get into this a little bit because I got so much to talk to you guys about. I want to go back first. Like I told you before, we're gonna talk about some bad days, too. I'm going to go back to 2003, 2004. David, you were in Montepeschi. Jared, you were starting with Cheska at that time. Y'all lost to Maccabi in the semis in 2004. David, your game against Bologna was sick. Hey. 90-90, tie yes, game sir. At the end. Talk to me a little bit about that game and what it was like losing a game like that. And then both of you watching Maccabi win by what, 34, 36 or something?
Yeah, they won by like 200 or something. Who knows? Yeah. Like the game was over before it started. That experience, first of all, it was a great experience to even be in the Final Four. JR had already been, you know, for us, it was a big deal because two Italian teams made it to the Final Four. And Bologna, the team that we played against, was very, very good. But it was a team that we felt we were better than that team. And, you know, we got to that environment, to that atmosphere. We probably should have won the game. It was a little controversy down the stretch and at the end and so on and so forth. And when we did not win, I think we looked at it as an opportunity we basically missed. And then watching the final, you know, watching them get beaten, we were obviously rooting for them, being a team from the same league as ours. But we just felt like we would have had a better chance at Maccabi. I don't think anybody had a real chance because they were just phenomenal in the crowd.
Yeah, they were that good.
Yeah, the crowd was ridiculous. It was almost unfair for it to be there with them. We did take playing against CSKA Moscow we got to get a hold of this one. And, you know, JR was a part of that team, and it was contentious match as well.
That wasn't exactly the game y'all wanted to meet it. I'm sure about that. But y'all didn't really know each other at that point, right? You guys were just competitors at that point, because then the following year, JR, you guys lost to Tau in the semis in 2004, 2005 with Ikovic. Was Ikovic your coach the year before also?
Yes, Ikovic was my coach the year before. Actually, that was our second year. We lost the first year in Barcelona to Fusca, yes, and Bodie, mm-hmm, Roga and Saronis, oh, yeah, okay, the Barcelona team.
So I was trying not to go back too far on you. At this point, it was 34 years. You don't want me to go back that far, do you?
Hey, I was just saying that was our second one. So Dave was right. It was not our first one, but it was our second Final Four. And honestly, we thought we had a really good chance against Maccabi. I know most teams always say, like, you don't want to play the home team, but if you're going to play the home team, you want to play them the first game, right? Nerves, all that, the first game. And I thought for, let's just say, 35 minutes, we were right there. We were up or down. And I know we went into the fourth quarter up two. So we thought we had a really good chance to steal one, of course, in the semifinal. But that team was strong. And they had, you know, from Vucevic to Sarunas, to Anthony Parker was phenomenal during that time. They still had Derek Sharp on the team. So they just, Blumenthal made a few big shots, as he always does in those Final Fours. It was just like one of those games where you feel like you're right there, nip and tuck. But at that time, they were the better team, and they found a way to win, and salute to them. I still don't like any of those guys, but it's cool. And 20 years later, I still haven't moved on, but it's all good.
I hear you, man. Hey, listen, I always tell people it's the losses that really define us more than it is the wins. You know, the wins are fun. The losses are what make you better. You just mentioned it yourself. And the following year, after that, 2004, 2005, you guys get the home court advantage. And Tao got you guys in the first game and sent you guys out. That had to be, I mean, with the season that y'all had and the fact that, I mean, you know, with all due respect to Tao and their program, they had some good players back then, and they still do, you know, nowadays, but they were never a huge threat to win. They weren't a Maccabi, they weren't a CSKA, they weren't a Real Madrid. So what was it like losing that game at home in that Final Four, where I'm sure y'all already had the champagne on ice and the whole thing ready to roll?
Yeah, that was tough, because I think we may still had a record. We won maybe like 50 games in a row that year. Our team was stacked. We were loaded from top to bottom. But to give credit to that Tao team did have five or six NBA players, from Cornell David, the splitter, to Luis Scola, took both Calderon and Prigioni. So even though Tao was a small market, they did have a lot of NBA players on that team. But we were stacked. We were loaded. Our second team was better than most teams for starting five. So again, we were at home, expectations were high. And like Dave said, until you get out there and them lights are bright, if you've never played in the Final Four, you don't know how to respond. And, we just didn't respond. It was one of those games where one or two of us played well, but you know, the majority of guys that usually, like Marcus Brown, had a first team all season, all EuroLeague season, but he didn't play as well in that Final Four. And that's part of it. I mean, sometimes you show up, sometimes you don't. And it was just one of those games where I think he played hard, just didn't have one of his better games. But credit to Tao, they won it, and they got smashed by Maccabi the next game, which was really hard for us, just because we were waiting all year to get that rematch. And the fact that we were getting them at home, it's almost like we looked past that Tao team. But that Tao team was pretty good, and Maziauskas made us pay early, and it was, we were fighting uphill battle ever from the minute go.
Hey man, all those names you just threw out, they were playing for Tiger. I mean, you, every name that you throw out just says character, 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 more character. That Argentinian pride, you know, those guys just come out, they beat the hell out of you in championship games, man. They usually beat you physically more than they do athletically.
For sure.
That's got to be a tough loss. So now let's go to the good season, all right?
Yeah.
David, you come in from Montabashi, right?
Yes.
Came from there with,
yeah.
Did you come with Ettore?
I came with Ettore. So basically, the year before, so we'll go back to when JR and that massive squad did not win the EuroLeague in Moscow. That season, they actually took one of my teammates first from Montepaschi Siena to CSKA Moscow. His name is David Anderson. Turnaround jump shot master. I think he was all EuroLeague that year. I'm 100% sure he had to be all EuroLeague that year. But DA played with me for the season in Montepaschi that we went to the Final Four and lost. And we ended up winning the Italian League Championship that season. And then the next season, he went to CSKA Moscow. And like Jay said, they were the best team in the EuroLeague. Whether or not they won the championship is not the point. But, right. You went 50 straight or anything like that in any situation, you're probably the best team. They just didn't, EuroLeague is so different. Much like the NCAA tournament, it's a one and done thing. So
exactly,
you can end up losing a game and then it's over, and that just is what it is. So, but they had David Anderson there, and when Ettore got the job, interesting part. I'll share this with you. My last season in Montepaschi, I had a knee injury, so I had a microfracture surgery that I think it was May, and Ettore called me. It may have been June or July-ish, something like that. I'll never forget. I was at a friend's wedding. I was on crutches. And he asked me one question. Well, he asked me two questions. He asked me, would I want to come to Russia? And I said, I didn't know where he was. I said, come to Russia. I said, I would come to Russia to play for one team. And he said, yeah, it's that team. I was like, oh yeah, I'll do that. So he calls me back and he asked me, he said, I know you had surgery. We need all the medical stuff. He said, but I just need to know. And this is a little eerie. And this was the summer. So I just need to know, will you be ready to guard Anthony Parker in the EuroLeague final? Hand on the Bible. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll be ready way before that. He was like, okay, no problem. And then he hung up. And then they called back with a contract and blah, blah, blah. So that's how I ended up joining there. And myself, Trajan Langdon, and Mateusz Modis came with Ettore Messina.
Those are some big names coming in. And I just... JR,
these weren't huge names at the time. We hadn't, Trajan and Mateusz, maybe. My name might have been in the middle somewhere, you know.
Yeah, but still, there are big names coming in to a team that's already pretty much built. So, I mean, JR, you had to be sitting back on, yeah, this is it. This is glory time.
Honestly, I didn't know because I didn't know those guys. I knew them as competitors, but when you get all that level of talent, and that's especially Dave noticed with like a lot of guys that need the ball, a lot of guys that are looking and have expectations of getting another contract and playing for different things, it could be complicated at times. So
right.
Of course I was losing two or three guys that I had went through to war with for 3 years. So it wasn't as simple as like, oh, I'm welcoming Dave and Trajan and Matias with open arms. It's like, hey, you went to three Final Fours and those dudes are leaving. I'm still here and we're bringing this new group, new coach, and they're saying these dudes are going to get us over the hump. So I was kind of like side-eyeing when they first got there, like, we're going to see if they get us over the hump. But dude, I'm just be honest with you. But like,
no.
That's
real. That's real. And I felt it. Like, I felt it, to be honest with you. And like, the truth be told, like, I think Jay kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, I know what my focus was coming in. I could feel Trajan's and I knew Mateusz, but it wasn't about money. It wasn't about, getting a new contract. It wasn't about any of that. All we wanted to do was come there, put it down, and win. That's all we cared about. So, like, it was interesting, but, like, the guys that were already there, us replacing some other guys, we didn't feel pressure to win. We felt pressure to perform at the level that we knew we could perform, and I think that resulted in us becoming winners. Like, we were winners mentally coming in, and comparing us with JR and some of the guys that were already there, they already knew how to get certain things done. It helped us a lot.
But yeah, y'all lost the first two games of the EuroLeague.
I can go there.
I need somebody to go there, man. I mean, that, you know.
I'll tell you the truth. When we got there, I was kind of like, I'm protecting what's mine. So them first two games, I was kind of trying to establish, like, this is my team, not our team. And it, those two losses were like a wake-up call, because if you look back, my numbers were good, but it was like those guys were trying to fit in. They weren't really coming to be like, hey, we're coming to take over. But I didn't know that at the time. I'm like, all I know, these two dudes is real good. I ain't going to be the one leaving. So it was one of those things where I was trying to get off to a fast start. And I wasn't so much focused on, hey, how do I fit in with these guys? It was more like, I have to stake what's mine or stake my crown. And to be honest with you, Dave and Trajan kind of pulled me aside after those two losses. And of course, Ettore had this big old screaming match, but like Dave put his arm around me and was like, hey, I need you to keep playing your game, but things are going to change. And it did. Like him moving me off the ball and Dave kind of letting me know, like, it wasn't about talent. It was about what's best for us moving right. forward. It wasn't an easy transition, but you got to think, we two games into a season, I've only played on the ball my whole career. And all of a sudden he takes the ball out of my hands and is like, in order for us to be a championship team, Dave got to be the point guard. So it's a hit a little bit to your ego, but it's also like, if this is what it takes to get us over the top, we going to see. But I didn't always believe it. But again, yeah. that group being so connected and Dave actually being the mature one and kind of taking me in and saying, hey, man, it ain't about your talent. We going to figure this out and we going to figure it out together, made the transition a lot easier. But that was definitely a Ettore Dave decision to take me off the ball. And the rest is history. We took care of business and the year became a lot better. But I know those first two games were rough probably for everybody.
But Coach Messina is good at doing that, Dave. I mean, this is the way he coaches. I mean, he'll play matchup games with other teams. He'll sit some players. Yeah. I mean, he'll just kind of go back and forth. But I mean, how, as a new guy coming in, who, I mean, you went to what, one Final Four at that point? You guys lost to Bologna a couple of years before that. Yeah. As a new guy coming in and seeing these guys, you know, I mean, I've been there. We've all been there as players, where you're coming into someone else's team, someone else's project, and you have to fit in. But now all of a sudden, after two games in the EuroLeague, they're telling you, no, JR, you need to fit in to our new system. Dave, what was that like for you? I mean, because now you become kind of a mentor to a guy that's been building this program for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Ettore has a method to his madness, right? So, you know, people obviously hear him yelling and screaming on the sidelines about certain things. And I was, as a player at the time, I didn't necessarily always understand. I learned later, obviously coaching with him and learning some other things from him, even beyond that, I learned a lot, but there's a method to his madness in some sense. And I know after those first two games, I think him moving me onto the ball and Jay off the ball had a lot to do with also like utilizing the skills that we each had in a different manner. So I was a bigger player, so okay, Jay's the point guard, blah blah blah. But JR is a scorer, and he can fill it up like no other. And sometimes he'll get going and making some of those decisions. Basically, Ettore was like, let's put him in a position where he doesn't have to even think about that. He just can go get a bucket. And if it comes time to make some decisions and stuff like that, he can do that also, as opposed to it trying to be something where it was different. So like for me, being on the court with him, it made it easy. Like, okay, shoot, I can get the ball out quick, throw it up to JR. It's going up and it's probably going to go in. So like, let's get a quick one. Boom, I can kick it ahead. If it's something where it's like, okay, Trajan needs to get going, I might not throw it up to JR. And then Jay would yell and be like, I was opening. And then I just had to be like, yeah, I get you next time. But it was always a reason to it. And it was something that I understood, but because of that, like there were certain things that I couldn't do anymore. You know, I was a little older. So there's certain things that I couldn't do anymore that he was capable of. It just made more sense. And then it didn't matter as far as like what position, I guess, it happened to be.
Right.
We just were basketball players. And
right.
Unfortunately, with his ability and his wherewithal, I know he didn't like it at first because he expressed that to me. You know, my thought was, yo, man, we'll figure this out. We on the court. We'll figure this out. We got to win. Let's take care of business. And, you know, he gravitated towards it. And, you know, hats off to him for even accepting that. Because like you said, I mean, you've been there for some years. You've been to the Final Four already. I mean, you've been to the Final Four already. Like,
but he ain't won it yet.
Neither had we. That's right. The reality. We had it. Exactly. So it's like, you know, it wasn't like we came in there with some rings and we could be like, yo, let me show you how to do this. No, that wasn't the reality. Reality was we kind of had to be along for that ride, especially early, to understand some things. And we needed those two losses, to be honest with you. Like, I think it put us in a different focus.
That kind of sets the pace for the rest of the season, because now you guys start winning. You're moving along. You got, I can't remember your record, 15-2 after that or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, of course, your league, as we talked about, you have to get there. You have to play those two games. You know, it's a head or a tails toss up who's going to win, who's going to have a good game. Mm-hmm. But again, injuries along the way happen also. And your boy, David Anderson, went down midway through the season. And how did that affect y'all through the season? Because, I mean, that's a big injury to take right there, all the way, like, in midseason, losing a big guy that could post up like that.
You know how I felt about that? It's interesting. Oh, so D.A., we could pump the ball inside to him. We knew a turnaround jump shot was going up, and, you know, make or miss, he made most of them, but we knew what type of shot, what type of thing was going to happen. When he went down, first of all, it hurt, like, tremendously. He might have been our leading scorer at the time, or he was somewhere up there in that realm. We had a bunch of guys around the same point per game average. But we ended up getting Thomas VanderSpiegel. And
right,
the big fella is a completely different player. Pick, roll hard to the rim. Now there's a lob threat really at the rim. And it really, I think, adjusted the way that we played. And it probably ended up helping us, because the other teams come in preparing for, you know, a different style of play. And that's not even how we played anymore. It's right. Like, you know, we didn't pass the ball inside at all. I mean, maybe Alexis Severosinko, maybe from time to time, got a post up here or there. I would get post ups from time to time, but it wasn't a post for a big man. It wasn't split action. It wasn't that type of game. It was much more wide open. It was much more open floor, you know, driving kick to shooters or shooters coming off a ball screen. So it was a very, very different style. And I think it really caught a lot of people off guard, to be honest with you.
So JR, actually, it helped out in the long run. I mean, it kind of gave the team
helped out. I don't want to say helped out.
It gives you a new dynamic and a different way of play. Well, you've already been scouted halfway through the season. Now you got to go back and re-scout a team with another player, with another personality and another role in the team. So that makes it difficult. And did that open you up anymore, JR? When a guy cutting down the middle, that's going to open you up on the outside.
To be honest, I do think it helped us a lot. I mean, I don't want to say it because, like, DA is my guy. I'm always ride with DA the way he can score.
And he's
the ball.
About to get a phone call from Australia soon. So don't
worry. I'm always ride with my guy, DA. But I'll tell you this, like, one of Dave's strengths is his ability to see over the defense and even Papa Lucas. Right. So when they turn that now corner, Dave wasn't catching lobs, Dave Anderson. Where Thomas VanderSpiegel, Dave could turn the corner, and if you stay 1 second too long, he could throw a lob. Now my man might be helping. Now Dave can hit me, and now I got a guy closing out where I can use my speed. I don't have to just settle for a three. So I do think it opened some things up, but it opened things up not just for Dave. I think it opened things up for Papa Lucas, Trajan. All of us kind of ate off of now having a guy that can rim roll consistently, and it really did help our team during that time play with more pace and kind of pick up how we wanted to play a little bit.
All right, so fellas, you get through the season, you end up in the playoffs, you guys find FS. I'd be pretty easy rolling. I wrote it down over here, 66-57 first game, 75-71 the second game. You know, I mean, there's no easy playoff, because we all know that if you lose that first game at home, you got to go. It was a 3-game playoff back in the day. But I want to get to the Final Four as quick as possible. Is there anything? I think, David, you had a little something to say about somebody from the other team.
Nah, I mean, you know, but, listen, I never looked at myself as talented as some other players and people. So I always had some, like, competitive thing with somebody. So, like, I know Granger played with Ephes, and there was somebody that had been at Seska, and somebody that I know I wanted to match up against when he was at Seska, he and Marcus Brown. And, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I can't wait to – we got to get at them. We want, you know, I wanted to be great in those moments, in those situations. And also Henry Dormakant, who was, you know, considered a high level scorer in the Euro League, and you know, I know I wanted to really wanted to get at him for sure and make the night tough as possible on him. He's coaching now in the NBA. So, you know, we stepped into those games really confident. Let me just say that. And we looked at it like, yeah, we rolling. We gonna handle business against them. So Henry and Antonio, man, you know, it was nice beating up on y'all. Appreciate it.
JR, I got to go to you here. With that confidence that y'all had during the playoffs and towards the end of the season, now you get through, you're in the Final Four, and you're going to face Barcelona the first game in the Final Four. But you are now coming from the history where David's coming in his first time in Cheska in a Final Four. It's not the same as you've been there 3 years and dealing with all the 32 years, 33 years, 34, you know what I mean?
35.
I mean, I know. Yeah, but I had to get to the 35th to begin with, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying is that, you know, that history that you had going back into the Final Four, I mean, no matter how strong we are mentally when we're playing the game and how much confidence we have, sometimes like foolish confidence at times, you know, It's not hard not to clear that from the back of your mind. Like, I'm back here one more time, and I always say I don't want to play in that game. And y'all know which game I'm talking about.
100%.
So, Dale, yeah. Tell me what it was like for you and for the guys that have been around throughout those losses.
You know what? Our group was super united, and really, we didn't talk about the past. Like, it wasn't like we were going into the Final Four saying, "Hey, this is what happened." Now, I do think our small group who have been there in the past were like, "Hey, we got to get out of this semifinal game." Because at that point, we had never played in a final. We had lost in three semifinals going to the Final Four. But the group that was in, even Ettore during that time, he had some things going on with his family. Like, we were not so much focused on, "Hey, we got to beat this, let's just say this monkey off of our back. We got to get past the semifinal." This group was coming in, to be honest with you, saying, "We're going to win a championship in Prague." And to me, that type of confidence was a lot different, because usually we went into like, "Hey, it's one game at a time. Let's win the semifinal." This group came into it being like, "Hey, we're leaving this. We're leaving Prague with a championship." And I think that relaxed everybody going in. But once the game and that ball went up, it wasn't as smooth or as easy as we thought it would be. But going into it, I do think the confidence was super high.
I'm going to get into that, but I do want to touch on what you said about Ettore Messina. He has some issues with his son. I think it's some sicknesses or whatever. Was that, did it start before the Final Four, or did it happen like right before you guys got there? And what was it like within the team? Was there, you know, I mean, it's hard when you know a coach is going through some tough times, and, you know, we try to be professional, but it's hard to take your personal life and leave it when you get between those four lines.
Yeah, that happened when we got to Prague. So
that's even more difficult than.
No. Yeah, it was really crazy. We got there. Natasha Fareva talked to me about what was going on, and then Ettore talked to me, and he told me all he really told me was to try my best to help to keep everybody focused on what we were there to do, and that was it. And That's what he told me personally.
I know he used to have like one-on-ones with players before big games, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he already had his one-on-one with me before I even signed there by telling me I had to guard Anthony Parker in the Final Four the summer before we even got there. So he already had that one-on-one with me. But this one was like, he just told me basically, don't worry about him. He'll take care of what he needs to take care of. We got to stay focused. He used to always tell me, keep all of the kids together. Like we were going to school and we had to be drive bus at different times. Different ones of us had to drive the bus. So make sure all the kids get to school is what he always used to say to me. So he said, we got to keep everybody together, keep everybody focused. I'll be fine. They were in the hospital. He was there until we had our first practice. He came to practice. He left practice, went back to the hospital. And as we prepared for the first game, he came for what we did in the morning and then for the first game. And then he went back to the hospital. I don't know if he checked into his room until it might have been, I don't know when he checked into his room, but he definitely didn't spend much time.
That's crazy, man. It's tough on everybody. It's tough on the players. It's tough on the team. But it's something that can unite you also, within the locker. But I think that conversation I had with you is probably where he became, where in his mind, he was like, this guy might be a good coach someday. We'll have to figure this one out.
I don't know. I have no idea because, like Jay said, when we stepped into that first game, it was a lot different than what we thought going in. Believe me, especially for me.
y'all are down 5 in the first quarter, down 4 at halftime. I don't know if y'all remember that or not, but according to JR, what you said earlier, you already knew things weren't going very good. Let me go JR first. What's going through your mind is you guys aren't playing that well in that first half. I mean, are you still as confident as you said you were beforehand with the thing going on with Anthony, with everything else?
To be honest with you, I was always super confident. I always believed kind of in my ability, and I never really waver from that. Down 5 for us, we knew was nothing with the ability we had with shooters, us playing with pace. I think the biggest concern early in the game was like, Dave wasn't his normal, like, energetic, normal, like, talking self. Like, if anybody has ever played with Dave, know all he do is talk. Like, he talking to the opponents, he talking to you. He like, dude, can you shut the fuck up? Like, excuse my French. But, like, that dude, like, he'll get, like, I can understand why dudes be wanting to fight him, because he'll let you know, like, but Dave wasn't his normal self. He was kind of like, you know how, like, a play, he's calling a play, and he's like, yo, just get to your spot. Usually, be like, yo, get to your spot. I got you. Knock this down. This is money. Yeah. That's cash. Like, he wasn't that. And
so who woke him up? Who got him out of that? Who snapped?
I don't know who got him out of it, but I tell you, game 2, he was a different person.
Don't worry, I get there, man. I got my work done.
I'm sorry. So game 1, he really never got out of it, but it seemed like the energy of everybody else got him out of it. Like, I know in the second half, he kicked the head to me a few times. I made a few big shots. Papa Lucas found me. I feel like he got energized through us, but throughout most of the
game. You hit a few shots, man. You were 5 for 7 from 3 points. What are you talking about? You hit a few shots. Hey,
so I'm just saying, but I think usually throughout the year, we got energized through Dave, and I think this was one of the very few games that he kind of got energized through us to keep the main thing, and I was finding a way to win this game. It wasn't so much, hey, who's going to play well? It's like, we all have to play well enough to get over that hump, and I always say this, and I probably said it before, it's like, Dave taking me under his wing early in the season, it was like reciprocated right when the moment was needed. We're in the Final Four. He needed somebody to pick him up, and that was my job to pick him up. Because he picked me up when I was like, man, I don't know if I'm cut out to be here because things are changing for me. But it was like, hey, now he needed me. And it was like, hey, we all got to be here for Dave. And it was just one of those rare occasions where you get to be, you get to be at your best when the moment is bright. And I felt like I was kind of at my best during that stretch and kind of turned it around. But it was a credit to all of Dave will tell you, I sat right in front of him on the bus. All the talks he gave me throughout the season, the games I left scoring 8 points, I'm like, I ain't cut to be scoring 8 points. But all those conversations played out when the moment was brightest, and I give him a lot of respect and a lot of props for that always.
Now, I'm gonna ask you, JR, but it's gonna be directed towards Dave. You think that had anything to do with Bootsy Thorpe being on the other team? But that was his boy, right? I mean, that's like, I mean, Dave, come on, Dave.
Tell the truth. I wasn't point shaving. Don't do that.
No, not point shaving. No, I'm not going that way. But, I mean, some people have a difficult time playing against people that they're so close to. You know what I mean? It's one thing that you guys were teammates, but from what I understand, you guys were pretty close, almost at a different level. So, I mean, was that maybe an effect that had on that game for you personally?
I wanted it bad. Let me say that. Boosie and I obviously were super close. Will Solomon, who played for Maccabi at the time, he and I weren't close, and we kind of jawed back and forth about different things. But with that that Barcelona team, Boosie and I were close. Shimon, I think, was on that team as well.
Shimon had a good – he had a big game in that game,
too.
Oh, no,
he and I were also friends from the past. But I actually want to destroy those guys probably more than guys that I'm not as friendly with. It just gets, the competitive part of it, because I know I'm going to talk to those guys. I know I'm going to spend time with those guys, and I need to have something to hold over their head. Like, yeah, you remember that time we sat y'all, So like Jay said, that's just kind of me. That's the competitive part of me. But I think during the game, I wanted it. I know I got into some fouls and was not playing the way that I was capable of playing. And I think as the game wore on, I was very disappointed in myself. And in all honesty, I probably wore that more than I normally would. Normally, I just meet that stuff head on. And like, I needed JR to be who he became, who he was in that game, for to even feel better about myself. I needed him, like he said, to pick me up and kind of hold me down in that situation. And like, you know, to me, that's the culmination of all of those things and those situations that he had in the past, those three seasons prior, where they hadn't gotten over the hump in that game. One thing about Jay that has always been the case is he's fearless. It just never mattered what the situation was, what the timing was, what game it happened to be. He was always going to be who he was. So if you pass the ball ahead and he was open, he's going up. And he was not worried about whether or not it was going in or not. Or if he had missed the last three before that or made the last three before that, it was going up if he was open. So like, because of that, he goes 5 for 7. He's killing. I'm like, I gotta get him the ball more. I gotta trade. Like, hey, I'm like, man, no, you all right over there. We'll get you sooner or later. Let me get it to him.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I need to feel better about playing like garbage. And you know, I can say after the game, I felt like, I'm like, oh no, this is not gonna happen again. Like, no, I cannot let this. I honestly, I felt a certain way about letting JR down. Because I know that they had disappointments in the past, and I didn't play to my standard that game, and there was no way I was letting that happen again. I'm like, that's not happening again. I don't care. It's not happening again. I was pissed off after the game, and we won, and I was upset. And, you know, I do remember I had one and one on Boosie, and I kind of let him know about that. Like, that was like a big deal with me. I'm like, ah! So I was just excited to get anything good going for myself, but... Just really proud of our group for just you know, surpassing any of the pressures of that situation, because we were down at half, like you said.
But I mean, down at half, plus all the losses, plus all the memories, all the other stuff. But the thing that gets me is not you, is win that game, you get into the finals. Did you already know Maccabi was in the final, or did you find out after your game?
I thought we were the second game. You remember, Jay?
I don't remember. I ain't going to lie to you. I knew they was going to win, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter, right?
We knew what it was going to be. I don't think we even thought about another team. We was like, yeah, Maccabi's going to be in the finals. So
now you guys in the final. This is it. This is the moment. David, whatever
I got to chime in. This is Dave Vanderpool summed up in one thing about his confidence. I have to say this.
I'm dying to hear it.
You know how you have shoot around the day of the game, like where the other team is in. So at
I
the
know
final
exactly
four,
what he's about to talk about.
At the final four, Maccabi chose to do shoot around first. So they shot around first, and you know, right at the end, you kind of cross paths, right?
Yeah,
you
of come course.
In, the EuroLeague's there taking pictures, and then you come in, and then they leave, right? So we're walking in. I am not lying. This is after Dave played probably the worst game of his whole time at CSKA. This is after this game. Dave is walking in. We're all like, you know how we walk in. Everybody's not in one line, but everybody's kind of scattered. Dave is walking in saying, the champ is here. The champ is here. Walking around the arena. The champ is here. I said, this dude is crazy. But that is Dave. When I say that is Dave in a nutshell, he walks in during their shoot around. Cameras and everything, screaming, the champ is here. The day of the game.
I would love to see that. That video's got to be archived somewhere. I would love
to
see it.
It's got to be somewhere.
Oh, my God, bro. I cannot believe you told him that. That's crazy.
That is Dave in a nutshell. Like, I was like, it shocked me. Like, no, it wasn't like he said, this is what I'm going to do. I shoot around. Like, everybody's still, like, nobody knows what's going on. Everybody, Ettore is still going through a situation with his son. We just came off a game that everybody was like, man, it was a lot tighter than people expected. And Dave walks in the day of the championship game saying, the champ is here.
Yeah, but look. I played a little bit before you guys, but I think, you know, we came from almost the same era, more or less. So if you walk into my gym and I've just won two championships in a row and you start yelling, the champs are here, I'll be like, you're damn right they're here. They're sitting right here in yellow. I like, you're damn right they're here, mother. I mean, that would be my attitude anyways, but.
Well, you know what? One of my favorite, actually my favorite athlete of all time is Muhammad Ali. And
oh yeah, one of them, man.
You know, I'm big on manifestation and speaking and believing things into existence and being a champ before you stand on the podium. And when we were coming in, that's all I could think about. I'm like we the champs. We about to win this thing. The champs are here. The champs is here. And that's all I was thinking. And I just started saying it. And JR looked at me like, man, be quiet. What's wrong with you? I'm like, man, whatever. what they going to do? They going to play harder? Like, they already going to play hard. What's going to happen? So, like, you know, at the end of the day, we got to believe more than anybody. And, you know, like Jay said, I didn't have that energy going into the semifinal. I wasn't myself for whatever reason. I don't even know why. It wasn't nerves. I didn't feel nervous, but I wasn't myself going into that. But I knew coming into this final, like our group had to have a level of confidence, and not to mention our coach who was, you know, I guess a fortune teller, had already told me who I was going to be guarding in the EuroLeague final the summer before. Hey, it wasn't even anything for me to think about. I'm like, yeah, I got you. It's cool. Me and you, I got you. Already knew. So I felt so confident.
10 points in 36 and a half minutes. Anthony Parker. I got the numbers for you, baby.
I was just studying that from the summer before. So, you know me, it made it better.
I love it, man. But the best part about it, not only do you shut down the guy that your coach tells you to do, you have probably one of your best games, too. 16 points, 28 minutes, 6 for 12 from the field. I mean, J.I., you're probably out there going like, man, my boy's back. It's only been 48 hours, but my boy's back. Thank God. You know what?
Hey.
Did you have a talk with him? What are those talks that he had with you? Did you have a talk with him?
Honestly, no. You never had to say anything to Dave. Dave was the leader of the team. We knew Dave was going to bounce back. It was never a Dave. He didn't play
come
well.
Come on, J.R. J.R., come
I'm
on,
I'm not
going to
lie.
You lost three Final Fours in a row. Now get to the final. And the new guy on the team shows up in the first game, he disappears on me.
You didn't have
that much confidence in him.
I never wavered because, again, from the beginning, you got to remember my role was I got to take something that's mine, and his was I'm going to get you to where you want to go. It was never about him. And I think that's what made me have confidence in him bouncing back is, like, he never came in with, like, I'm going to do this. He didn't tell me about, this is the first time I ever heard about the Anthony Parker story. He didn't come in and say, when we get to the final, this is what we're going to do. All I knew was that this dude came in the day of shoot around and said, the champs are here. You must be ready to play your best game of your life because my guy, what you just played like the other night, that ain't the champ. So for me, I just felt like I didn't have any worries. Nobody had to go to Dave and say, pick it up. He always wanted the challenge. He wanted the smoke. He always wanted to go after the best. Etray never had to say, hey, who you guarding? Dave would be like, I got him. And all of us would just guard around Dave. So it was never a thing of us worrying about Dave. I think Dave picked most of us up more than we had to pick him up. And talking wasn't one of the things I did. That was Dave's role. So I stayed in my lane before every game. And it worked itself out. And he had one of his best games. I'll tell you this, being on the court with him was an honor and a privilege because I always say, like, you don't know. Like, I was a winner before he got here. Like, there was no question I was already a winner. But there's another thing to be a champion. And I can honestly say Etere was a great coach. But, like, that group, that 5, that 7, that 8, that 12, that 15, that was a championship team. Because the mental toughness, the physical, how we grinded throughout the year, dealing with adversity, that to me is what made us champions. And I think that year I learned to go from a winner to a champion. And I give a lot of credit to Dave, Matias, Etere.
I love it, man.
And Trajan for that.
Man. Thank you, bro.
I love hearing it, man. That's what teams are all about. But I got to go to one thing that I heard, like, you know, over the whole research and all the stuff I was looking up, whatever. Is it true that, like, Anthony was just like, hey, look, there's no game plan here. Just stop Vucic and we're good. If we can shut him down, we're good. Is that a true story?
I'm going to tell you what I remember. So, like game plan-wise, it wasn't necessarily about shutting down anybody. We definitely wanted to stop the big fella. But Anthony Parker was, you know, like Michael Jordan over there. So we had to shut him as well. But I tell you what, one thing that was different for me, so Etere is a contentious coach. And if you have thin skin, it's going to be tough to play for him. Yeah. You got to have thick skin. You got to be tough. He likes tough players. He likes players that are tough in who they are as far as their character. And, you know, he would try us and say a whole lot of wild stuff during games throughout the season. And I remember Jay used to be like, man, what is wrong with this dude? And I mean, at some point for me, I recognized that he was trying to push guys and it didn't matter like certain things. So sometimes I would yell back during games. And Jay would look at me like, dude, it's crazy. But we would go back and forth. The interesting part about that final game, we went down, it might have been 10-0 beginning of the game, something like that. Right? They scored the first 8 to 10 points in a row. Timeout was called. I'm walking to the bench. I'm like, oh, shit. Ethere is about to go back. He's about to go crazy. We sit down. He comes over. And he says, hey, everybody, relax. Calm down. It's okay. Just go play basketball. And I'm like, oh, snap. I'm like, okay. So we just look at each other. We like, let's go. Let's get to it. We got back on. He was so calm. I don't remember him yelling at all during the game, to be honest with you, which was really very, very different from how he had coached us the entire season.
During the season, yeah.
Oh, and it made it, for whatever reason, it gave me a level of confidence, even beyond the confidence I already had, and what we, like JR said, what our group was capable of doing, because it was certain things. He didn't have to push us. We were already pushed. He didn't have to make us tougher. We were already tough. He didn't have to make us persevere and get through hard times, because we already knew how to do that. The last game had already showed us how to come back from being down. Right. So we came out after that timeout, and when we took over the game, I was like, yeah, we got the game. Like, we had control of that basketball game the entire game. I never felt like they had control of the game. Never. After those that first timeout, they never had control of the game.
JR, I'm gonna ask a stupid question, man, the reporter question, like all the reporters do. I hate it, but you have to ask it. I got to throw it to you first. Dude, how does it feel, man? All that BS you've been hearing for the last 3-4 years, whatever, you know, all the ghosts, the, you know, whatever you want to call them, man, kind of like, you know, who is it, the Chicago Cubs, or the, you know, you hear all these stories, man, all these people talk about it. All they want to do is keep talking. What did it feel like for you just to get, let's just say, get that weight off your back?
It's crazy. If I could say one word, it would just, I felt blessed, man. Blessed. Like, you never assume you can get back somewhere, right? The new team, right. Teammates came in. You're like, man, we don't know how this is going to go. You said it. We started 0-2. We ran off these games. Dave Anderson gets hurt. We struggled the first game of the semifinals. Like, we really, like, I didn't know Dave came in saying the champs is here. I didn't come in saying that. Like, I was, I didn't know how it was going to go. So for me, I just felt like, man, to be able to get here and finally lift that trophy, I felt like it was just, I felt blessed. I was like, man, I never thought 5 years ago I can get to 4 straight Final Fours, but forget getting to 4 straight Final Fours, actually being a champion, I feel like now I could take that weight off of me of just being like, he's a good player, he's a winner.
Exactly.
It's like, nah, now I'm a champion, and I just felt like, man, I finally got to this mountaintop. It felt really good.
David, as you know, walking in first year as a leader, man, how'd it feel for you to, I mean, because, you know, I already see throughout this interview before we started talking an interview, you're a little bit of a shit talker, you know what I mean?
Sometimes.
I mean, you know, I'm sure at one point or another during the celebration, you're going to tell Josh, that's all you need was me, man. That's all you need was me in the house.
No. Listen, I will talk, but it's more of a thing that, like, to play some type of mind game to get into, you know, into the psyche of certain things. And I also know I'm also going to go as hard as I possibly can and try to make it as tough on whoever the opponent is as I possibly can. So, like, you know, with that understanding, at least of who I am, I will say certain things that people are like, yeah, right. I'm like, no, it's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. So,
right.
To be able to win in that environment, I mean, it was like Jay said, That's the biggest moment of my playing career. And
right.
It was no feeling like that. You know, and the good part about that is, like, that happened, and it's like, that's the feeling that you chase. That's the feeling that you've been chasing for, you know, for your career. And you don't realize it until you get that feeling. And it's like, this is it. This is what the pinnacle feels like. This is what that you know, that how excited you are to have accomplished this level of accomplishment.
Man, I've always said every bad game, every bad loss, every poor performance, everything is worth it. Once you raise that EuroLeague title, man, it's like, damn, I finally got to that pinnacle.
Everything was worth it. And I mean, it didn't matter. Nothing mattered who, what the stats were, what happened the game before,
No one cares about that.
None of that stuff mattered. All that mattered was that we took care of business.
Picking up that trophy and going out and partying a little bit.
Man, it was great. It was great. And party Moscow style we had a great time. The ability to be able to be in that position in that situation again is thanks to obviously the JR and all the people at Seska.
Because y'all went to one and again 2 years later.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just a position that, they allow me to be able to be there. Just being there around that group of people, JR's character and who he is. And I told him this back then, and I still will tell him this. He actually gives of himself a little bit more, but I wish even back then he had shared who he was with the world more then, because he is a special person and, everybody doesn't get to see it. You know what I mean? And the thing about him is, all of the things that kind of he holds more tightly to himself is things that I think would just really bless so many other people. So I always used to tell him, man, that's not me. Man, listen, you are too special to hold that to yourself, man. You got to keep sharing who you are with more people, because this will touch everyone in a special way, same way it touched me and made me a EuroLeague champion, but also made me a better person. So I just appreciate him for that, for sure.
Shout out to J.R. I agree with him with the little time that I've been here with you, because when you gave that whole speech during the interview about I was always the winner, but I was never a champion. That sounded like something just came right off of Instagram like 5 minutes ago.
If it didn't come off, it will be there soon.
It'll be there soon, man. I loved it. I loved it.
Dave knows this. It was always love, but I think it's when you look back now, you could say like, man, I was a part of something truly special. But when you're in it, you don't know how special it is until it's over, right? Like, so those talks I had with Dave at that time, I was just like, oh, that's my guy. Of course he's looking out for me, but he didn't understand the jewels he was dropping. Sometimes you don't even realize they're feeding you the right way until 5 months later, 3 months later. That time, again, I tell people, Ederick gave him my position. I'm like, that's my position. I was here for 3 years. I've been to 3 Final Fours. Like, when he says these things, like, I think it's so easy to say now because we're looking back on it. But at that time, it was contentious. I had a lot of respect for Dave. What he did at Siena, turning that team around and getting to a Final Four, was unheard of. But now it's like, you coming from my spot. And that's how I looked at it. And I didn't look at it the right way until he put his arm around me and was like, nah, man, we're going to get this together. It just might not be the way you imagined it, right? Always been me having the ball in my hands, me making certain plays. And he's like, is it really about being a champion or is it about you? And I think during that time, you didn't realize it, but he was just saying, hey, you really want to be a champion or you want it to be about JR? And I'm like, damn, you got a point. I didn't want to hear. I mean, everybody, you think you want certain things. But again, like I said, him being able to just keep feeding me in the right way and not selfishly for him. He's like, hey, I'm going to do this to help you. I didn't see it that way at first. I was like, he's weighing a point because now he get the ball. Like, we fighting over the ball. Like, I want the ball. No, you was like, so again, it was all these things that, when I look back on, he was just feeding me in a way that I just didn't know. And that's why I say I feel blessed, because now I was able to now go back and do it as the point guard because I learned from somebody who did it as a point guard. See, my first time, I didn't know how to do it as a point guard to be a champion, but he kind of taught me how to do it as a champion. So I got to go back and win a Final Four and even win a Euro basket being a point guard, because I got to learn from somebody that taught me well more beyond the game. So he'll never know. Like, I truly appreciated that year for all the knowledge, but also learning how to be a champion as a point guard.
Big respect, man, between the two of you, man. I love listening to it. I love watching it. I didn't see you guys play that much because I was back in the States doing my thing back then. And the fact that y'all two got together and came here with me, man, I really appreciate y'all spending that a couple of the bad years plus the big season with me and at the crossover, man. I appreciate it. But now I got to be tough on you guys because we got to get out of here. If I need to go to your starting five, And I mean, obviously, we know we let's go to your starting four, because it seems like it seems like both of y'all are going to be on each other's team. So maybe we'll just call the starting four.
I'm going to go first, and I'm not going to pick none of my teammates. Because
hold on
if
a second.
I pick,
David said he was already prepared.
I can't, because if I pick my teammate, I'm going to just pick my team, because I would say I would put that team against any team that's ever won a EuroLeague.
I hear you, man.
So for me, it would be I'm going to be biased. So I don't want to be biased. Like Papa Lucas deserves to be on that team. Dave, Trajan, Smotis.
We didn't even mention Papa Lucas MVP.
Exactly. We didn't even mention that. And that is my point. So to me, I would be biased. So I'm gonna pick five players that I didn't play with, that I played against.
That, I like that.
That were champions. So Spinolis, he was a champion.
Number one for me.
Saronis Zesakavich was a champion. Anthony Parker during my stage, he was the Michael Jordan of it. Bodie Roga, when I got over there, he couldn't be touched. And then Vucevic. So those would be my five. That would be my team. But I would never pick anybody on my team, because I think my team would beat any of their teams in any series if we played. So I would be biased. So those would be my five if I had to pick five.
From now on the crossover, that's going to be, I'm going to call it my JR Law. You're not allowed to pick anybody on your championship team. You got to pick someone outside of that that won championships.
I was here before the law was created. I actually already had written down these names.
There we go. Bologna, Parker, Sardis, Trajan, JR, and Pop. There you go. Are y'all almost the same?
I got six guys, because there was not a better six man probably ever than Papa Lucas, who never wanted to start. You know, I don't want to start. Okay, no problem. He'll come off the bench. So he always came off the bench. A lot of people don't know that or realize that, but yeah, he came off the bench. Bodie Roga, who I played against when I was in Siena as well. And he was at the end part of his career. So I couldn't imagine what it was like when he was younger. I mean, he was phenomenal then. Anthony Parker, who we already talked about, AP, who we see obviously and deal with on a consistent basis here in the NBA, was the Michael Jordan. He doesn't like hearing that. He always like, oh, I'm like, he's still the biggest celebrity over there in Israel. He's huge. Saris, who was, you know, just a winner in so many respects, winning
big time
at Barcelona and at Maccabi. So he obviously does it. And, you know, like I said, my teammates, Trajan, JR, and Pops, I mean, like, yo, I put it to you like this. I can't think of a better trio than those three. I'm excluding myself even being involved in that, because I just happened to be along for that ride that one season. But the fact of the matter is, Pops and JR went to – how many did y'all go to in a row? Shoot, what is it? Three, four,
eight.
Five,
eight.
Seven, eight in a row. They went to eight Final Fours in a row. Those two.
Yeah.
Trajan went to one, two, three, four, I think, in a row, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, regardless of any of that, the idea and the goal is to win, and to win the EuroLeague. And those dudes, you know, put that in at a whole different stratosphere. They went to eight Final Fours in a row and won three. Was it three total?
We won two. I was like LeBron. I was like LeBron, 2-6.
Hey, listen.
You didn't go chasing it, though. You didn't go chasing it.
Hey, listen, and I would take that every day, every single day of the week, and twice on Sunday. So, you know, at the end of the day, those three guys, I think, put it, you know, out of the stratosphere as far as what winning looks like in the EuroLeague. I mean, they just were winners through and through. And, you know, I would take them over anybody.
Fellas, man, listen, this has been amazing for me, man. I want to thank you guys for bringing me along on that 2005 ride. I want to thank you for bringing my listeners along on that ride also, man, because, you know, I mean, as the time goes by, we're kind of forgotten about sometimes, you know what I mean? The time's passed. It's been 20-something years now. Yeah. You know, it's like, it's man, right. You know, we're still around. And the fact that you guys are so close, I mean, you know, I have so many teammates that I'm close with, and it's just an amazing, every time I get to do this, man, I enjoy the moment. You guys have made my job the easiest job I got right now. And this is an easy interview. I was like, man, I don't know these guys very well. I know of them, but I don't know about how it's going to be. But I want to thank you guys. Thank you so much for the time. I know you guys are busy. I love the fact that you guys are so successful, you know, in the NBA, work and everything else, man. It's just great to see all of us guys that were Americans, well, some of us Americans, you know, that came over and played in Europe and just continue to be successful. So, man, congratulations, fellas. I appreciate it a lot.
Thank you so much for having us. Definitely appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, JR.
Thank you so much. Yep, truly appreciate it. Dave should be in that five, but like I said, he talked himself into the five. He put me on the map. He put six in, so put him on the bench.
Like I said, he the champ.
I told you, I'll take my five. That five that won that championship, I'll take over any five any day. I think that five could beat the five I picked. That's how good and mentally tough that group was.
Give him a go for sure.
Hold on 1 second. You told me right when this thing started, Dave does whatever the hell he wants. That's the reason why he picked six anyways.
Exactly.
So he proved your point right from the start to the end.
Look, he's still a point guard. He can't let go of it. He's still a point guard. Yo, Jay, 12:30. I'm like, dang, what, 12? Can I do 12 o'clock? No, 12:30.
Fellas, we got to cash out, man. I love it, man. All right.
Yeah, much
I
could
be here
Joe.
All day with you guys, man.
Hey, Joe, much love. And as you see, I'm still getting blamed for everything. So, you know, I take it. No problem. Just like we started.
Thank you, guys, man. Appreciate it. Yep, thank you.
Thank you. Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me in the crossover with Joe R. Lucas, the 25th anniversary edition. We're bringing all your coaches and players and legends back to go over their championship seasons, 2005, 2006, this time with Dave Vanderpool and with J.R. Holden. Check it out because we're around for a lot more in this 25th anniversary. Comment, like, and subscribe and do all those things you're supposed to do. And we'll be back at the crossover with Joe R. Lucas.